Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today. Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
We continue. Hour number two of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, yes, your life, Rocket can. Mike DeVito, formerly of the Chiefs and Jets, going to swing by 20 minutes from now. We'll get all into this roughing the passer nonsense that benefited Tom Brady and then also Derek Carr, and I don't know what else Grady Jarrett nor one Chris Jones are supposed to do. So we will talk a little bit about that with Mike DeVito and also get a lay of the land of the entire National Football League. I want to get to the game last night, and there's so many different angles that we could unpack that game. The Raiders choking away a lead after being up 17 to nothing, an unbelievable comeback again by Kansas City, all the back and forth mayhem, the roughing the passer call that adds on to what we saw on Sunday, then carry over into Monday. But I want to break down a few specific decisions because analytics right now in the NFL, I'm not opposed to them. I understand that numbers and information and data and all the resources should be applied when you are paid so much money and you're trying to find an edge or an advantage to get your team a victory. Sometimes, though, and it's not just when it comes to the NFL, this is baseball too, pretty much all sports, where the analytics get driven home so much that the coaches become robotic and don't have a pulse of the situation and don't understand or use their head or use their gut, which got them there. Okay, the numbers say one thing, but my feel of the game with how much years I've seen football tells me I should do something. So I want to go through a few scenarios last night and really break down the analytics on the decisions and maybe some of the inconsistencies too, because I did think there was one moment in the game last night where I would not usually advocate going for it in that spot, but when you don't go for it and you went for it earlier, it makes me raise an eyebrow, and I would like to see some consistencies. I get each decision is different, but there's no flow, really. And there's nothing that I could expect as a fan, and I really was frustrated with the final 10, 15 minutes of that game because there were so many moments where I go, why the heck is that team doing this? Why is that coach doing this? Now, I'll say this about Brandon Staley, Ryan. I'll say this when I look at Brandon Staley. Not that I agree with Brandon Staley. I killed Brandon Staley the other day. And there's a lot of times that he just lives and dies by the analytics, and he doesn't use his brain. He doesn't use his gut. Just aggressive, aggressive, aggressive. And there's a difference in using information, being aggressive, and then just being stupid. And Brandon Staley last year was stupid down the stretch. And this year, there's been times where he's been stupid, and sometimes his stupidity has not cost his team, and sometimes it has. But at least with Brandon Staley, you know what you're getting. At least with Brandon Staley, you know, for the most part, that if it's 4th and 2, 4th and 3, 4th and 1, 4th and an inch, it doesn't matter if you're on your own 24-yard line or the other team's 24-yard line. 9.99999 times out of 10, he's going for it. And all of his players know that that's going to happen. We've talked to Austin Eckler. We've talked to Josh Kelly. And most of them go, and even Austin Eckler said it to me in the summer, yeah, last year there was a few times you raised an eyebrow, you didn't get it, but now we know coach has the full support and the full belief in the offense, and he's going to go because he believes in this offense so much with all the talent. Well, you could still have belief in your offense. You could still have trust in your offense and not go for it every time and make some uneducated, boneheaded decisions. And you even saw that Keenan Allen, because there's sometimes you get caught up in the heat of the moment, right? Like if I'm a competitor and it's 4th-and-2 and my coach says go for it, I'm like, yeah, let's go for it. I'm in the huddle. This guy believes in me. All right, the adrenaline takes over. We got to go get it. But when you're like Keenan Allen, who was not playing, was hurt, and is watching the game, and he's watching the game from home between the Browns and the Chargers, I think Keenan Allen, for the first time, right, the light bulb went off in his head of, wow, our coach makes some bad decisions. Because there were tweets live in the moment, and he could spin it however he wants, but it's clearly talking about the decision-making, where Brandon Staley went for it in a situation and a spot that it didn't make sense to go for it. But I will say that at least Brandon Staley, even though I don't agree with him most of the time, he's at least consistent where he lives and dies by the analytics. And maybe Ryan, that's just the case now in 2022. Maybe the new, young, innovative coach is just going to live and die with the analytics, and it could frustrate the heck out of me, but at least I know what I'm getting with Brandon Staley. Last night with Josh McDaniels and Andy Reid, and we'll get into their specific decisions, I didn't really get a lot of their decisions. And you don't usually have the same tone or the same feelings in the past. And you know Andy Reid's a Hall of Famer. Josh McDaniels, it's not looking all too good for him with the Raiders. But I watched Josh McDaniels coach for 10 years. There was a lot of spots, and maybe this was just being in New England and Belichick didn't give it the okay, where you wouldn't see some decisions like what you saw last night from Josh McDaniels. So it makes it frustrating and tough as a fan to really try to figure out what to expect from these coaches, because everything I used to think, what I knew about football and what made football sense, now I have no clue what to expect anymore. And I thought last night, we'll get into those specific decisions that I'm referring to and alluding to in a moment. But last night was really, I threw my hands up in the air and I go, I don't get this. I don't get this whatsoever.
It's almost like now you have to learn a new math equation. You know, usually it's, oh, you're up, I don't know, you're up by 5. Let's go for 2 to make it 7. You're up by 1. Hey, let's go for 2 to make it 3. Now it's like you're learning math all over again. We're down by 1. Hey, we're going to go for 2 with, you know, not just a second left. We're going to go for 2 earlier in the game.
You're confusing me with all these numbers. There's not good with numbers.
It's a new math equation that's coming into the NFL. New math is here. Just like new media is here with Draymond Green, new math is here with these young NFL coaches.
So let's go through these decisions. Is this analytics or is there something else? So the Chiefs, they have Matthew Wright, Harrison Butker, not playing once again. Matthew Wright, in the game last night, 1-of-2, kicking the field goal. There was also a weird defensive holding penalty. Before we get into the analytics, there was a defensive holding penalty on a field goal attempt that Matthew Wright missed. Now, that's not the 1-of-2 that he missed, but he missed it, and there was a defensive holding on a field goal. And it ended up giving him a first down because it's automatic first down. I've never seen defensive holding on a field goal. That I still don't get that one. And I saw the replay. Didn't look like defensive holding to me, hot take, Iggy.
I would agree. And again, you know how we're always used to hearing, you know, seeing certain things when it comes to the score and, oh, you do this. When you're used to also hearing things, special teams holding on a field goal, usually, oh, okay, offense. Offensive holding. You're never used to a custom saying holding the defense on a field goal.
I literally thought that they just messed up.
Like
that,
they said the wrong side on an accident?
No, not even that. That there was a penalty and then the communication, oh, there was a penalty on the defense side of the ball on the field goal team and they just said holding, but it wasn't actually holding. Like maybe it was like illegal hands to the fact. Like I don't know what it could have been, but I go, it can't be holding. I've watched football, and I know that I'm not an old man, a decrepit old man, but I watched football for now over 2 decades. I've never seen defensive holding on the field goal return team. I've never seen that on the defense team. That made no sense to me. But anyway, the Chiefs, they get a touchdown that puts them up 30-23. Now, this also impacts the gambling world. Because if you may or may not have recalled, there may have been a talk show host on this station last night in this time slot that said they laid the 7 points with Kansas City. Now, there's still a lot of time left in the game. But with 7:25 to go, they get the 7. I'm thinking, okay, I got the Chiefs laying 7. My bets have been horrible this year. Maybe I'll actually win one after looking like I was going to lose one. You take the extra point, you go up by 8. They did not go for the extra point. They went for 2, and they didn't get it. Now, the risk is, if you go up by 9, it's 2 scores. But like, that's the reward. But the risk is, if you don't get the 2, then it's a 7-point game. All the other team needs to do is just get a touchdown and a PAT, and you're tied up. So maybe there was some of the things that were sprinkled in here was a lack of confidence in the kicker. Now, the kicker did drill, what was it, like a 58-yard field goal, whatever it was, right before the end of the first half?
59, I believe.
59? And he made all the extra points last night. So I don't get in that spot, unless there was an injury or there was no confidence in the kicker. But if the numbers there said they should go for it to go up by 9, from a football sense, that makes no sense because I want to score the touchdown, which you did, kick the extra point, you go up by 8, and then the team that you're playing not only has to get a touchdown, they also get a 2-point conversion. So that made no sense to me last night. Decision number 1 right there.
I think it was, I will go with, because I was looking for an explanation, I couldn't find one. I will go with the lack of confidence in a kicker, because let's just not forget, he did go 1 of 2, but he missed a field goal in the holding that should have been a miss. He should have been 1 for 3. And also, with Harrison Butker out, the Chiefs have already gone through a kicker. Matt Amendola used to, and now he's missed a field goal for the Cardinals.
Don't tell Justin Pugh that.
Do
it's
not
his fault. We all take accountability here.
He was very, yes, you're right. He had his kickers back. Andy Reid did not have the kickers back. He said, screw it, this guy's out of here, I'm cutting him. And they tried a fake field goal against the Colts because they didn't trust him. So I wonder if that's just PTSD of just kickers missing kicks. He goes, screw it, I got Patrick Mahomes. We're just going to go
but
for it
and
just
extra points in the
take
game.
It out. I get it, but it's also a kicker that, you know, they're up and down. It's a big kick. And also he missed one like the last time they kicked it.
Okay, so even if he misses, even if he misses that, I would still rather attempt the PAT, which is a 32-33-yard field goal, to go up by 8 than to run a 2-point play. I get it's Mahomes and he's unbelievable, but that just doesn't make sense to me.
Well, if you're Andy Reid and you think, okay, I got a kicker that I don't trust that's going to be out of here as soon as Harrison Butker is back.
Are you defending this?
Or I have Patrick Mahomes.
Are you really defending this?
I am.
Ugh.
If you don't have confidence in your kicker,
then he shouldn't even be playing.
You have Patrick Mahomes.
Then he shouldn't be playing. You can't trust this guy to make an extra point when he already made 3 prior to put you up by 8. Go find another kicker.
When he should have been, well, they're trying. They're waiting for Harrison Buckley
well,
healthy. They've already gone
through.
Don't get
this on the field if you don't think that he can make the extra point.
Well, you know, we talk about the Panthers head coaching or some of the other head coaching jobs. Who are you going to hire? Who are you going to sign? What kicker's out there to sign? There's no Adam Vinatieri sitting out there waiting to be signed and...
You know what? Dicker the kicker. The Eagles got him. There's guys out there.
Yeah, they're out there because they're not very good.
It's an extra point.
You want a Rigo Blankenship from the Colts? He got cut.
It's an extra point. They got. I don't care if your kicker, well, if his leg fell off during the game, maybe that's a little bit different. But
I would probably not have him out there if he had one leg.
Now, I'm fearing this is going to get a bit contentious because I saw you tweet about this. I thought maybe you had a few drinks. Then Ryan Leaf.
It was 10 minutes after the show. What do you think I'm doing? Running right to the bar and getting an IV?
You did bring up to my attention that there was a large bottle of vodka in this studio last week sitting there.
And disappeared.
Not
in my possession.
Into your locker. And Hickey after the show, sip, 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 shot, shot, shot. Shot, 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 shot.
It's a Monday. That's what it is. I am now a responsible person.
On Monday after the Mets loss, your football team sucks. It wouldn't shock me if you had a few shots after the show. But you're really believing, and thank God Ryan Leaf, who you have this relationship with, clapped right back at you and said you're an idiot, a moron, and a dope. A lot of respect to Ryan Leaf. Love Ryan Leaf. with 4 minutes and 27 seconds to go, the Raiders go and get a touchdown. Davante Adams, 48-yard reception from Derek Carr. It brings them within one with 4:27 to go. Now, if there is a minute left, I can understand trying to go win the game there. But with 4:27 to go, you got to take the extra point and tie up the game, because even if you get it, all Kansas City needs to do with 4.5 to play, and I know they may not trust their kicker, but it's march down the field, get in field goal range, and then you lose. Now, I know you can say the other way, oh, well, if you tie up the game, they march down the field and they tie up the game. But if you don't get the two, and I can't trust that Raiders offense, you're then down by one. So I don't get it for the life of me. And you could give me whatever analytic response you want or whatever response you want, and we don't need to go at each other's throats here. But that did not make sense to me. And it kills momentum there. When you could have and should have tied up the game with Daniel Carlson, who was having a great game. So I did not get that one. Give me your explanation here.
Here's why I liked it. Flow of the game. This is a game where we saw the Chiefs score on five straight possessions. Touchdowns, field goals, they were red hot after going down 17-0. If you're Josh McDaniels, you see that lead evaporate, and you see now Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce being unguardable and doing their thing. You now score a touchdown, like I said, 4.5 minutes ago. You got to think to yourself, this defense is not very good anyway. Do I trust them to hold Patrick Mahomes and co. out of the end zone?
Which they did.
And or out of field goal range?
Which they did.
But at the time, can you feel good about when they scored five in a row? I would say no.
But they did, and then your offense didn't come alive, and all you would need to do is just get in field goal range. Instead, and they turned the ball. But I know they turned it over on downs, but they ended up losing the game.
But here's the thing, then. If you have faith in your defense, and you also think of it this way. You score two, and they were inches away. It was a good call. They didn't get it. Okay. If they got it, you're up 31-30. You get the stop, then I can see like they get.
You can just run the ball.
You can run the ball up because Josh Jacobs had a tremendous game. They could not tackle me to over 150 yards on the ground. You feel confident thinking, if we get one stop, we can run this clock out and win the game.
When you lose by one, though, it's an awful look. And I would have just taken the extra point there. That's just me. But you do bring up a good point with their run game. What the heck are they doing on third and one and fourth and one when you're down by one and you don't run the football one time there with Josh Jacobs on third or fourth down? Now, they took a deep shot to Davante Adams and 1 foot was out of bounds. But then on fourth and one, you know, personally, I would run the football, but it's a pass-happy league, so teams like to pass in that spot. Why are you taking a deep shot there back-to-back plays when you just need 1 yard? And all you have to do, agree or disagree on the decision to go for the extra point or not, is just get in field goal range and you win.
I agree with you on the running the ball. I would have done it. I mean, the Davante Adams pass is inches away, so you could say, you know what, that was a good play call there. Fine. If you want to throw the ball on fourth down, like I said, it's a passing league. You have Davante Adams, fine. But do not, like you said, be throwing up a 30-yard prayer and running a route where you guys are running into each other.
And they didn't have a timeout, to be fair. They were out of timeouts, Las Vegas. So maybe that's why they didn't run the football. But you could run the football, get up, and call another. You could call two plays.
And like you said, also, you just need field goal. You don't need touchdowns. So you only need to go another 15, 20 yards, not another 50 yards.
Now, I know we got to get to Mike DeVito, but real quickly, because you're Mr. Analytics. And it's all about, right, ending the game, right?
I'm not Mr. Analytics. No, you keep on it's I all like about, the aggressiveness.
About trying to end the game.
Trying to win the game.
Do you trust that Chiefs defense?
Not really.
Okay. So did you have a problem then with Andy Reid with 2:36 to go, 4th and 3, at the Raiders 46, up by one, punting the football away instead of putting the ball in Patrick Mahomes' hands and going to win the game there, which he didn't do. He punted the football. Did you have any problem with that?
I like the punt.
Really?
Don't give a gimme.
I'm shocked. Because if he's trying to end the game there and go up by nine, up by one, you could have ended the game. Well, not directly a first down, but you then get a few more first downs and you could just bleed out the clock. Wow, did the Astros just hit a walk-off?
3-run homer.
Yordan Alvarez, 3-run blast deep to right. Oh, what a miserable loss for the Mariners. Were they up like 7-3 at one point in this game?
7-3, 7-2, something like that. Not good. I think 7-3,
my
you're right.
God.
And 6-1.
The Astros are going to be, we all know they're going to be a tough out. You know what? Can I say it? Let's go Astros. I'm okay with the Astros getting the World Series.
I'm rooting for them to win.
Yeah.
Anyone but the Yankees? Anyone but the Phillies, the Braves?
I'm not usually anti-Yankee, but there's a few Yankee fans that decided to dance on the Mets' grave, and that annoyed me. Anyway, Mike DeVito will join us next. It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today. Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
A lot of surprises so far through the first 5 weeks of the season. To no surprise, we still don't know how to hit the quarterback anymore. So let's bring in a former defensive lineman. He did, of course, play for the Jets and the Kansas City Chiefs, and that is Mike DeVito. Mike, always appreciate the time. How you been?
Zach, man, it's great to be on. Thank you, brother. Listen, I know I was a former D lineman, but I didn't do much hitting the quarterback. So,
hey, you had 5.5 career sacks.
There we go. Over 9 years. So what's that? We have half a sack a season. Not bad.
But you are a fan of the game. So when you watch Chris Jones, you watch also Grady Jarrett. I don't know how you hit the quarterback anymore because they did nothing wrong.
You know what's so funny too, Zach, is I'm thinking about it back from when I played, right? So I played from 07 to 2000. I retired in 2016. Like, the game has gotten exponentially faster since then. I mean, it's just every year it seems to get faster and faster and faster. Like, I'm thinking back to when, it was much more run, but the game was still fast. But even then, when I think of these rules, it's just, you're 100 miles an hour. You know, if you're talking about a defensive lineman getting past their offensive line, they're already 2 or 3 yards in the backfield, hit a good move, and now you have to bend in or bend out and make your way to the quarterback. And now you have the added elements of not only, tagging the quarterback, getting around your guy, doing all that stuff, the techniques and everything, but now aiming for what seems to be shrinking target on this quarterback from, what is legal to what is illegal. And it's just, and you have a split second to make transition how you're going in there, your aim and your point of attack. And it's just, it's nearly impossible to do. And so you take a guy like Chris Jones yesterday, I mean, it's just, that was as clean as it gets. That was a beautiful sack. In fact, if there's going to be a flag, it's going to be that he didn't hit him harder. I know back when I was playing, if you would have lightly put him down the way Chris did, the coaches would have given you a minus. They would have like, what the hell? Pound him. You finally get a chance. So it's just, it's incredibly weird, Zach. And to finish up this rant, as crazy as it is, I don't think I see it changing. Because when you look at the NFL and the way the league is, the NFL is first and foremost about making money. That's what the owners care about. That's the most important thing. And what's going to hurt what's going to stop people from watching football and getting, invested in the game? It's going to be if your starting quarterback gets hurt. It's not going to be if you're throwing personal penalty flags on the defensive line. And so I'm sure the NFL is looking at this and saying, great, let's keep that guy healthy because that's the guy that's bringing in the views. That's the guy that people want to see. And that's the guy that's putting up all the points. And when a backup quarterback gets in there, these teams go to crap usually. I mean, that's the key in the NFL is that starting quarterback. So that, again, that's the moneymaker. And I don't see the NFL being too upset about how these flags have been thrown given, what's most important.
I love what Chris Jones said after the game last night, Mike DeVito, because a lot of times people would just blast the league, but they don't offer a solution to kind of fix the problem. He thinks that it should be reviewable, roughing the passer. Do you agree with that?
That's an interesting point. Why not? Certainly. I mean, especially if it's getting to this point where what is a sack and what is roughing the passer is becoming, it's becoming really hard to tell the boundaries there. Sure, certainly make it reviewable. And that's going to clear up a lot of stuff because when you look at that play from last night on film, it is obvious to anybody who sees it. Now, I think that ref doubled down, but still, when you look at it on the replay, it's just it's obvious that that wasn't a roughing, you know, that just clearly wasn't a roughing the passer. And so if you have an opportunity to review that on film, obviously you get things straight. And so these can be big game-changing plays, especially down the stretch. Some of these sacks are incredibly important. And so, yeah, no, I like that idea. I didn't hear Chris say that, but that's good. That's really good.
I just wonder, though, how effective that would be, because if you remember the whole Saints game and then the next year or 2 years later they had pass interference reviewed, we didn't really see many of those calls change. It was kind of like the league saying, we're only going to do it if it's in a big-time spot because we don't want to kill the officials too much.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, again, there's that tension, but I'd rather have the option. Yeah, let them have the option. Let them have the option to do it. Again, especially if this is going to be, you know, a hard play to diagnose. I mean, it seems like what is considered an actual sack compared to what is roughing the passer is becoming less and less clear. And so, yeah, I think that's a really good idea.
How much is this, Mike DeVito, because you brought it up, protecting the quarterback. Not that they could have avoided the Tua situation on the field, but they just allowed him back on the field. I know roughing the passer's down this year, but this past week you then see all of a sudden two crazy calls. Is that the NFL behind the scenes telling the officials to maybe keep an eye out on protecting the quarterbacks even more now?
That's really interesting. I didn't put those two things together, but that's certainly, I mean, if that was the case, I wouldn't be surprised. Again, and it makes sense for the NFL to worry about losing that guy. I mean, look at Miami now. Miami looks like the Miami of old now with those two quarterbacks down. It's just not the same team. And if they continue to do that week in and week out, what was looking like a promising season is now, you know, could turn out to be really bad for them. And now you got people that are watching. The Dolphins fans aren't into it. Those games don't sell as much, and you lose money. And so, and I'm sure there's I'm sure there is a player safety element to this as well. But, you know, ultimately the quarterback, again, that's the money making position. That's the position that's going to win the game. That's the guy that's going to make the difference on Sundays. And so, this is what gives me some sort of more of a pessimistic outlook on this, that I don't see it changing for those reasons.
You say player safety. Let's just call it how it is, and you even alluded to it. It's really quarterback safety. I don't think the NFL cares about player safety. They just care about quarterback safety.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, yeah, that's certainly right. And I was talking to somebody today, and I want to get your thoughts. I mean, did it seem like prior to these rules, quarterbacks, and maybe I just missed it, but did it seem like quarterbacks were getting injured more frequently before these rules were put into place, and now all of a sudden they're getting less injured? I mean, I don't know. I don't know the stats or how that actually, you know, if that's true or not, but doesn't seem to me like it's made that much of a difference.
No, because here's the thing. You can't avoid an ACL tear, and you can't avoid getting a concussion. You could put rules in place where, yes, you put the quarterback in less of a spot to get hit, and you don't want people diving at the knees or slapping their head. But most of the times, you see these injuries, a quarterback tears an ACL, there's nothing you could do about it.
Exactly. No, that's exactly right. I mean, it doesn't seem, again, it seems to be a rule that doesn't have much effect outside of these really bad calls the Tampa Bay game, that changed the game, you know, that call. So I think, and my friend Jeff Allen, the offensive line, former O-line for the Chiefs, brought this up to me today. He said, I think that was good for the Chiefs because they got fired up after that. You saw Andy Reid after that. You saw Mahomes. They
Mahomes
were fired
is going
up
berserk.
Yeah, and that kind of – I mean, I've never seen Andy Reid that mad. And so I think that sort of kicked them out of the slump they were in, and then they got going and just put the pedal to the floor there. But so in their case, I think it worked in their favor. I think that's a good point that Jeff brought up. But you're right, it could change games, and it doesn't seem to be, you know, at least from an outsider's perspective, I don't know the stats, but it doesn't seem to make that big of a difference as far as player safety is concerned.
Mike DeVito here with us. Does it surprise you that the Chiefs are once again rolling? Because a lot of people were doubting them this offseason, and right now it's either them or Buffalo as the best team in the AFC again.
I guess I this seems to be the case all the time. I feel like every year we go into the season, especially in this Pat Mahomes era, and people doubt the Chiefs. I always see them put second, third, fourth in the AFC West for finishing, you know, predictions. I don't understand why. I mean, you know, you lost Tyreek Hill. Do you lose your, you know, one of your big studs going into the season? But they have a ton of players, and Andy Reid's track record for being able to focus in on, you know, the talents of his guys and maximize those talents, especially on offense. Get guys in the positions to utilize what makes them good and to take advantage of a defense. I mean, there's no better than Andy Reid. And so I'm not sure why. I didn't think that at all, that going into the season, like, oh, no, this could be a problem. I mean, you have the number one – look, you have the number one offensive line in the NFL. You have some – you know, you have Frank Clark, you have Chris Jones on – I mean, you have all these studs on defense. And you brought in a lot of good players at wide receiver. And I'm not sure why all the hate, but I'm not surprised they can't. In fact, what I am surprised about Kansas City is that they lost to Indy and they had such a tough time with the Raiders. That's more surprising to me than where they're at right now.
Mike DeVito, wrapping up with him. Everyone can't wait for this game already on Sunday. We know how it ended last year. Chiefs and the Bills, they're going to meet up again in Arrowhead this weekend. What do you think decides that game? Is it just who has the ball last?
I think that's, you know, that's exactly right. I think that's a fair bet to say whoever has the ball last in this game, that's the team that's going to win. And my buddy Jeff brought this up, and I think it's a good point to remember. This really is a playoff game because these are the two teams that, for all intents and purposes, are going to be fighting for that 1-2 spot.
Exactly. And for Buffalo, like, we know Kansas City go win anywhere, and I bet Buffalo can too, but imagine a home AFC championship game for the Bills. Like, I can't even begin to think what that would be like.
Oh, my. It's like saying that almost sounds like you can't put those words in that sentence. You know what I mean? It's like, what? But no, I know it's incredible. And so, and now you also got to remember there's only one bye week, right? So that number one position is important. And if it's going to come down to a tiebreaker, you know, it's probably going to be between these two teams. And so the winner of this game really puts themselves in good place going into the playoffs. And so I'm glad it's at Arrowhead and not in Buffalo. I think that's the sort of one of those deciding factors that's in, you know, in Kansas City's favor. If that's at home and Arrowhead's hard to play at. But this is going to be an incredible game. Just absolutely incredible.
Give me your thoughts on the Jets. They're 3-2. What do you kind of think of what Joe Douglas and then also Robert Saleh are doing?
Oh, I love what those guys are doing. Listen, if you're going to do well in New York, you got to have a tough GM, you got to have a tough head coach, and you got to have a tough quarterback. And you got those two guys in GM and head coach, definitely. I love Saleh. Saleh is a guy that I like, a Rex Ryan. You want to play for that guy. I think Wilson is looking good, looking the part. He's, you know, coming back from injury, he's doing what he needs to do. I'm fired up for that fan base. I love New York. They deserve it. I'm so glad that the Jets are back on track. And again, I like the prospect of the direction that they're going, given the people that they have in charge.
Yeah, they have a ton of young talent, and it feels like you just wonder where they're going to be next year. Because my expectations this year, you know, you could go get big victories like they've had early on, you know, with the way they took care of Miami. But I feel this is a big foundation year to set up next year.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. But you know what? Do you remember the first year that Rex Ryan came in 2009?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we were thinking. And then all of a sudden the chips fall a certain way, and here you are going into the AFC Championship game. So, but I'm with you. And I think that you're right. The young talent that they have, and you couple that with the momentum, that's dangerous.
Mike DeVito, always great to catch up with you. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Zach. Appreciate you, brother.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about.
like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to. So get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to. So get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. You know what I find kind of funny here, hot take Kiki? And don't get me wrong, we probably have done this before, but I think there's a way that you present it. So someone from CBS Sports today, I did not see who it was. I just remember seeing the graphic. Throughout five potential destinations for Christian McCaffrey, if the Panthers elect to trade Christian McCaffrey. So then so many other people in the media that react off this stuff go, oh, the Eagles, let's just say, right? Philly was one of the teams. The Eagles are being linked to Christian McCaffrey. If it's just someone's opinion, like, hey, I'm so-and-so from, like, let's say if I gave an opinion on the radio. Hey, I think the Eagles, the Bills, the Broncos, the Colts, and I don't know, the Patriots should trade for Christian McCaffrey. And then someone goes, oh, the Patriots are being linked to Christian McCaffrey per Zach Gelb. No, I'm just giving you my opinion. And it wasn't reported by CBS Sports that, oh, these teams are definitely interested by Christian McCaffrey. It's just possible trade scenarios. So I don't get this really from the sports media world.
I guess always trying to find some sort of new angle or new content to kind of, you know, satisfy the fan. So it's, hey, here's CBS. Hey, it's more of an opinion than reporting, but they're being linked. And I guess the word linked is also very interesting because it's technically not wrong. It makes it seem as if
it makes it seem like he's available, which he may be, and this team already had a conversation with the Panthers about it, but you don't know if it is. It's just some guy giving his opinion.
I guess technically, right, if you say linked, that could just be in the same sentence. Like you just did it. Oh, the Patriots and Christian McCaffrey are linked. Just you say it in the same sentence. I think that technically means linked. But to your point, we interpret that anytime you hear the word X team and this player are linked in a conversation, it's some sort of trade talk, like you said, where you would expect at least a conversation to be made or there's some interest on both sides to get a trade done, now, not just a list.
It would make sense to me if, let's just say, and I don't know who wrote the article or who posted it, so I'll look it up and I'll find out. Maybe one thing if it was like Jonathan Jones, who's an NFL CBS insider.
Insider.
If it was Pete Prisco, like guys that break news, that would be different. But I'm assuming, because we've seen these posts all the time when we talked about it, right? Like Cody Benjamin, that's one of the guys that we've had on. He gives his top 10 coaches in the NFL. I would assume that this is like one of those guys, which they're NFL writers, but they're never breaking news.
Writers, content creators, discussion starters. Not, hey, this is actually happening, yeah, and calls have been made.
And there's a lot of times, for example, remember a few months ago, I got on the air and I said, oh, I want to see the Vikings go trade for Lamar Jackson and get Lamar Jackson.
Yes.
And I just threw that out there. There was websites that wrote articles, and there was people that tweeted me, oh, what do you know about Lamar Jackson possibly joining the Vikings? I'm like, what? I go, I just sat there. If he was to leave the Baltimore Ravens, because the contract situation does seem very contentious or very murky, that would be one team that I would want to see him go, because we talked about how it's a video game type of offense with Jefferson, Thielen, Cook, KJ Osborne, you know, Alexander, all those guys they have if you added in a player like Lamar Jackson. It's always love when that stuff happens. But during the break, I saw some guys saying, oh, like the Eagles are interested in Christian McCaffrey. Based off what? What is that based off of? The CBS graphic that was put out there? Five potential destinations or
five teams that could make sense if Christian McCaffrey gets traded? That doesn't, unless I am totally missing the report here.
Tomorrow, Eagles trade for Christian McCaffrey.
No, and it can still happen.
No, you're not wrong.
Now, I don't get why it would be Philly. Because they have Miles Sanders and you got Jalen Hurts. That's enough. You don't need to go trade for Christian McCaffrey. But you never put anything past Howie Roseman. But just because a writer who does not break news puts out five potential destinations or five teams that make sense doesn't mean like, oh, man, that team's city should get their hopes up. And now all of a sudden, we're going to react to it as if it is actually concrete news. And you even saw yesterday, right? One reporter said the Bills already made a phone call. And then another reporter said, no, the Bills haven't made a phone call yet. They have no clue what happens anymore. You really don't.
You got to be very careful on Twitter. Double and triple check. For me, I always like to do a quick retweet, quick reaction. It's dangerous for people like me.
I love you. Too much hickey on Twitter.
Too much?
Yeah.
What do you mean too much?
I feel like you feel, and I used to do this too, that you give an opinion on everything that's happening. And I know you watch a ton of sports, but you don't always have to give those opinions on Twitter 24/7. And when you get frustrated about one of your teams, it's tweet after tweet after tweet after tweet after tweet after tweet after tweet. I think you should condense that a little bit if I had to give you some social media advice.
Interesting. I think I don't feel like I don't tweet enough, to be honest, at times.
Oh, I think too much.
I will say during the Colts game specifically, maybe a little much.
Well, I don't see your tweets during the Colts game.
Otherwise.
Because, you know, I'm on Eye on Football. I don't see that.
I mean, Mets road trip in Oakland in the middle of June at 1:45 a.m. I'll be there. People need to see the reaction. Let's go. Let's go.
And also, I'll give my finger to Starling Marte if he needs a finger. No, you're not.
If surgery was available nowadays where I could take my finger, give it to him, and it would be like brand new.
But here's why you wouldn't. You wouldn't even take $100,000 or what was it, $500,000 to drink using a hot dog as a straw for a
I don't want to be that guy. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be the guy known as the guy.
By the way, it was Cody Benjamin.
Cody's a nice guy. He's been on the show.
No, I like
but
Cody.
You're right. He's a content creator.
But he's not a newsbreaker.
No.
And to be fair, the headline is Christian McCaffrey trade rumors. Bills Broncos among six logical landing spots for Panthers star running back.
Well, here's where I'll get on either Cody or the editor. Trade rumors is a little misleading.
Well, there were trade rumors the other day that the Bills made a phone call.
But then if we have rumors of teams, or you put a headline where trade rumors.
It says Christian McCaffrey trade rumors, semicolon, Bills, Broncos among six logical landing spots for Panthers star running back. I read that as there's trade rumors, and then he's giving his opinion of six logical landing spots for the running back.
But are there trade rumors if the Panthers are not picking up the phone and or no
one's
calling
them? Well,
one
report says there was.
And then you said another report.
Yeah.
Shot that down.
Now, he said, with this in mind, here are six logical landing spots for the former Pro Bowl for the former Pro Bowler in the event the Panthers are willing to shop him.
So in his case, he covered up his tracks.
Yes. You want to hear the six teams?
Sure.
It was not five, six. Commanders?
Oui. Why? They're 1-4.
Eagles?
You mentioned before why.
Oh, yeah, because Cody Benjamin loves the Eagles.
400 running. I had another one.
49ers?
Okay.
That makes sense.
Running back to you.
Broncos?
Any shot of life they can get, sure.
Rams?
Why the hell not?
And then the Buffalo Bills.
That makes the most sense.
That does make a ton of sense. Zach Gilb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations. Coverage of your favorite teams. Live news from your hometown. And millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news. And add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to. So get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football. Live and on demand. Wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.